church, the Bible says that he that is sent of God speaks the words of God. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are life and they are spirit. Tonight, God is going to transform our lives by his word. I thought you believed it. I said tonight, God is going to transform our lives by his word. Hallelujah. And as I said earlier, God has prepared his servant and he has anointed him specially for you and for me tonight. Hallelujah. We are receiving the ministry of my Father and your Father. Daddy is ready, but I want us to show him that we have waited for him for a long time. That if nothing happens to you tonight, this will happen to you. So if you as you have come, maybe someone invited you, you don't know, you just came to please the person who invited you, perhaps this will happen to you. Shall we read it together? Why do we exist? We exist to raise kingdom-minded people who would explicitly manifest their identity in Christ. Are you in the church?
Yes.
So expect that by the time you leave here, your mind will become, you will be a kingdom-minded person.
Yes, sir.
Is that some, does that sound like something you want for yourself?
Yes.
Beautiful. And expect that by the time you live here, you'll be equipped to manifest your identity in Christ. If you want to live a life of purpose, then don't blink. Don't blink tonight. Watch. Just watch. He said, I'll stand upon my watch to see what he will say. So watch. Don't sleep. Don't blink. You may be tired, but tell yourself that this is a divine moment. This is not one of the moments where you just have to appear in church. No. This is a time of divine visitation. And you will never leave this place the same in Jesus' name. Our Father is an apostle.
Yes, sir.
Yes, you can put your hands together. And he's mandated to raise mature sons of God who would explicitly manifest their identity in Christ. Hallelujah. He's a teacher. When I mention one of the things he is, you just say, oh wow. Are you in a church? Don't say wow. Say, oh wow. Say, oh wow. He's a teacher, an author, a conference speaker. He's a mentor to me. Do you like my life? When you look at me, do you like my life? Then you will like him more. Because he has mentored me. I said he's a mentor. Not just a mentor. My mentor. Our mentor, eh? Did you bring your notebook? Then you should prepare to write. Because the words he's going to minister to us tonight are the words that will turn your life around. Hallelujah. And at KMC, the Healthy Church, we believe and receive him as God's precious gift to us. He's our ordained leader for the fulfillment of God's commission. Apostles' messages center on wisdom, the fear of the Lord, spiritual discipleship and maturity and excellence. Hallelujah. Apostle is married to a very anointed, beautiful wife. Your hand like this and say special. Mommy, you are special. And they are blessed with three wonderful sons. I nearly said brothers. They are my brothers, but they are their sons. Hallelujah. And so with Jesus' joy, jumping, shouting, clapping. I want you to help me to receive. No, you are not clapping enough. Receive to this exalted altar the ministry of God's anointed servant.
Apostle David. Oh, you're not making noise. Apostle David. Abijan Fee, please. The lead pastor of KMC Worldwide. Church, let's do it. Put your hands together and make some Holy Ghost noise.
Love you too. Hallelujah. Charlie, I'm blessed too. I'm so excited to be here. You have no idea. I know how it feels to put something like this together. But the Bible says that the horse is prepared for battle, but victory is of the Lord. Sometimes it is not really in connection with our preparation. Our preparation is the proof of our heart of readiness for our reception. And that positions us to qualify for what he wants to do. So the scripture said the heart is prepared for battle. Or better said, the horse is prepared for battle. I said, but victory is of the Lord. So it is, the victory does not come from the preparation of the horse. But the victory comes from the Lord. But if preparation is not done, it tells that the set man is not ready. He's not ready. But coming here, I see you are ready. And because you are ready, every cubit and megabyte and gigabyte of his grace shall be released upon you in Jesus' name. Like your pastor rightly said, if God sends a man, it means that he's telling you a new season has arrived for you. The Bible said God went to Samuel and told Samuel, he said, take your vessel, the horn, and go to Jesse's house. What was that? A new season for one of the sons of Jesse had come. God could have gone there by himself, but the principle is that on this earth, God can do, and I said it again, God can do nothing if he does not involve man. Why? Because the scripture has made it clear for us to understand that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The Bible said that he has given this earth for the sons of men to rule. So by protocol, if God is breaking into this earth, he needs the permit of men. And that is why prayer is a necessity for progress for one's life. For God to intervene in your life, prayer is like telling God, I permit you to intervene divinely. Bring your involvement into this matter. Then you can have the liberty to step in. So a believer who does not pray does not receive grace. A believer who does not spend time to pray does not receive grace. And when that happens, then you should know that something new is about to happen. Anytime you see a man called by God come your way, please never think it is just one of the things. It is a prophetic season into a next level. You should be so intelligent in the things of God. And I know KMC is called for that, that we will groom nations, that we will groom people to really become kingdom men who have intelligence. You should be so intelligent to know the kind of ministry that has been sent around you and be able to decode what God is about to do. Because every kind of ministry has what it has to do. When the prophetic comes, it has what it has to do. When the apostolic comes, it has what it has to do. When the evangelistic comes, it has, the pastoral comes. God has a purpose for every meeting. And like it is rightly said, it is nothing less than encounter of grace. I say it is nothing less than encounter of grace. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are not leaving this place. The greatest mistake you did is to enter here if your dream is not to change, because it's too late. there will be a change for you, a change for glory. The scripture says in 1 Samuel, the chapter number 3, the verse number 21, he said, God appeared again. Somebody say, appear unto me again. He said, God appeared again unto Samuel. He said, this time he appeared by the word. So it means God can appear by the spirit, but this time he appeared by the word. May the Lord appear unto you by his word tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Can we lift our voice and pray in the spirit for a short while, as much as you can? Come on, lift your voice. Shadabakatosh. Kela masofra di gebeosh brandi sahatai. Ora ba 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 ba. Hey, la tuza vale mahato veleketo shefradi satai. Shadabado seketa labradu sefradi kapai. Ora ba 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 ba. Sheveledo sheketelemo satai. Ora ba 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 shetenemo kapai. For we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God. We have come to the place where the spirit of just men would enter into perfection. We have come to a place of transfiguration and transformation. Ligavasu varedesha ende on the sahai kabalion tete mekabosh. Ura ba 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 kapandu atani ate. Shadenenenene mosiva le masova de badadane. Oh, Rabababashadine. Oh, Rabababashetele mosadananananananasadi. Iroshetananadosa. Sadivale zavaladozevale. Shadavani minimo kobolo sete. Sevaleno shevani ke velose shadini mo savalane ke paluete. Oh God, we give you glory, Lord, we give you glory. You reign, you wish and Zion's king. You are mighty on your throne. I say, you reign, you reign, Zion's King. Ados, Ados, you are mighty on your throne. Come on, sing. Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty, you are mighty, you are mighty on your throne, you are mighty on your throne, you are mighty on your throne, Lord, you are mighty on your throne. You are mighty on your throne. Oh, you are mighty on your throne.
You are mighty.
You are mighty on your throne.
You are mighty on your throne.
You are mighty.
You are mighty on your throne.
You are mighty.
You are mighty on your throne.
Thank you for Charismata, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege for the expansion of the kingdom. Thank you for equipping your people, putting them together, preparing them for something great in this city. Lord, your voice shall be heard by the mouths that are gathered here. These are people that will take the torch and flame others. They shall become burning men, that men will come out to behold. Oh Lord, thank you for what you are about to do. Hey, it is a new season for us, and so shall it be. Rako shevele endo seha fakati. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you adoration. Thank you for our pastor, Pastor Edwin. Thank you, Lord, for giving him the heart of a shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for blessing him with all the graces and the virtue. Molding, breaking, dealing, healing, remolding, reforming, feeling, and equipping him, oh Lord, for this work of ministry. Thank you for the team of leaders. Thank you, Lord, for in the last day shall pour your spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Servants shall prophesy. Hey, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we give you glory. Even in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you shout a better amen? Hallelujah. Oh, let's take a seat gloriously. Wow. It's a joy to be here. And I repeat, it's a joy to be here. Today begins the conference, and I can assure you it's going to be wonderful. And I know that as the days go by, maybe it will come to a point where we need extra chairs. Why? Because the Lord is going to touch men to come in here. It will be a joy for you to tell somebody, let's go. Let's go. I was teaching somewhere, and once I was teaching, a young lady was sitting on the chair. She was crying. She said, so I went to stand beside her and I was teaching. She was crying. I looked at her and she said, can I touch you? I said, touch me. And she touched. Others tried to help her, and everyone started going down. There's a dimension, we call it the liquid part of the word, where it begins to flow. You see, when you take sugar, it has a process it goes through before it becomes glucose. But when you take glucose, you understand what I'm trying to say? Very well. Before I break protocol, let me just appreciate the presence of our pastor. He's doing a great work. Let's put hands together for our pastor, Pastor Edwin. Doing a great work here. We are very proud of Pastor Edwin. And whenever he comes home, if I don't run away to sleep or he doesn't run away to sleep, we don't sleep. We can talk, spend time together. Beautiful moment of fellowship. And I like the part where you can call and just travel and come to me and said, I just want to be with you. I did it to my father last week. He was in the house and I drove to Tema. He said, why did you come? I said, I came to visit you. For what? I said, I want us to talk. Just talk. Talk about anything. I just carried my seed, went to drop my seed. And I said, let's talk. We spoke about everything. We spoke about shoes. We spoke about visas. We spoke about passports. We spoke about the daughters. We spoke about wives. We spoke about everything. We didn't speak about Bible or whatever. We spoke about all these things are part of life. We spoke about them. And after he prayed for me and I left. Immediately I left his presence. I had an accident on the motorway at the place. 7 cars had an accident and couldn't make it. I made it. So you see, you will never understand the potency of the Patriarch's anointing. And unfortunately, when they are alive, we think we don't see the power of it. Sometimes when they die, then we begin to see. Yes. They never envied the unction upon Elijah until he was taken away. Then the sons of the prophet who were supposed to pursue after him now came to bow to Elijah. If you don't do all that you must do when it comes to righteousness,
we pursue it. The Bible says pursue righteousness. When it comes to the part of life, the Bible says what? We should strive. We strive to work in them. So there are certain things, if you know, going after a man, whether you like it or not. One day I was praying a prayer and the Lord told me, he said, don't ask me for this. It has left heaven a long time. He said, it is with men on earth. He said, look for them and serve. And sometimes, those are the prices we don't want to pay. Those are the prices we don't want to pay. If you are truly serving a man, listen to me very carefully. If you are truly serving a man who carries your destiny, who carries what you have, you need for your destiny, and you don't get offended until you feel like I want to walk away, that is not the man you are supposed to follow. I'm telling you. Because the proof of your loyalty that qualifies you for the next level is your ability to overcome your disloyalty when it is difficult to be faithful. The Bible says when he went a far journey, he kept long, never told them when he was returning. Now when he came, the qualification was good and faithful servant. He didn't look at the prophet, good and faithful servant. So the qualification to enter into the master's rest is connected to your goodness and your faithfulness. I've worked with my father from 97. One day I told him, I said, I don't need a popular father to be popular. I just need a wise father to bring me up. I've laid on the floor before. My father has insulted me. My father has rebuked me. I laid on the floor with my face down about something I've not done. One of the greatest mistakes you will ever do is to try to correct a father. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Everything about your father, including his foolishness, is your wisdom. It's strange. Everything. When you see somebody fall, his father fell, it means the person never learned the lesson. The fall of your father is not for your laughter. It's for your lesson. It's your wisdom. It's your wisdom. It's your wisdom. So when he was talking to me about things I have never done, that was not the time for me. There were other people there. So that's not the time to challenge my father. That is not me. Pastor, it's not me. Every moment, you should make sure your father must be right and you must protect him. You must protect. Don't ever expose the foolishness of your father. What I mean is, I'm using strong words here. What I mean is, if there is an issue between you and your father and there is a third person, let him feel right all the time. If there is anything so dangerous, you must talk to him about it. You go and ask Pepe, Daddy, please, can I talk to you about something? It must be between you and him. Daddy, what we're talking about, sincerely, I don't know anything about it. I just didn't want to say because there was a third person. Protect the nakedness of Noah. Saying this, I'm saying, but I think it's wisdom for someone. Hallelujah. So tonight is the first night, and I'm sincerely speaking, we are just going to have fun. If I'm led to speak one or two things, why not? We just mention one or two things and then we go our way. But I promise you, we're going to have fantastic moments. Yes, I'm very excited to be here, and more excited because I came with my wife. Oh yes. Yes. I mean, there's nothing to rush. There's nowhere to rush. I mean, she's here. She's here. I believe I have the most beautiful wife in the whole wide world. Whole wide world. Yeah. You're all witnesses. You see, one way, when God makes you see something, it means it's about to give you something. Something not less than that.
may you receive something.
A friend of mine told me something. He said, you this pastors, because you're always standing in front, you're able to see the beautiful girls and you choose them yourself. Who told you, when we are standing here, we don't look at girls. Okay, we don't look at them. They look at us. Everybody sees us, both boys and girls. I was very happy when she told me she's coming along with me. The whole of this year, I've been traveling alone, moving up and down here and there. So, the whole of this year, this is the time she has moved with me. Yes. And I'm very happy. So that is the first lady, Lady Eunice, who couple as a corporate woman. She's the auditor for SIC Life, a branch auditor for the Atwater branch. And she's my mother and wife and everything. Everything a woman can be to a man. I always, one day, last week I asked her, are you sure you are a human being? I said, are you a human being? And so she, her face changed. Like, what do you mean? I said, you are an angel. You are deceiving me. You are an angel. You are not a human being. Angel Eunice. If you are counting the anointings and the graces God gave me, you don't count this one, you have not finished counting. I'm not lying to you. All my sons and daughters here, they know. They know very well. And they have some of them. Have some of them here. And thank you for coming, Trida. I'm glad. I also didn't come alone. I came with Pastor Sam. I thought Pastor Sam, you know him already. I mean, he's our ex officio member. And then I decided to also travel. I was coming with a team, but some other things came up and we have to, but I managed to bring some of the team members. Everybody say little and big. How do you call it in literature? Well, you use two opposite words. This one, I'm on the grounds of knowledge. So I'm leaving you to think. If you're able to tell me, I will redraw your accreditation. So he's called Lil Big. Lil Big. Yeah. So Lil Big is Minister Nkuma. Minister Nkuma is actually the director for KMZ Music. Yes. And he's one of the finest directors we have. Yes, very solid. Length. Way he's grown so well and watching grow, and I'm very excited. There's something about KMC. I realize that almost everyone that leads KMC choir grows to become something we seek after. Yes. How many of you know PK? PK, what's the name? Mzenku PK. So Mzenku PK was our director. He grew until he got to a point I told him, look, I've gone down the church. Please leave. I told him to go. Time where right now, if I get him, I'll let him go again. Yes. Now we have arrived there too. Yes, and we have Mr. Dan was our first director. Mr. Dan was our first director, and on. And then, Pastor Hannah took over, and he took over from Pastor Hannah. And none of them is not a sought after. You too shall be soft after. Somebody say little big. Yeah. Very powerful. Very powerful. And I know the Lord is really raising him. God spoke to me specially about him and an assignment he has for him. And nobody around him can understand, because Paul said, as for the vision, as for the voice, I heard it alone. we may all see the light. I remember when I told him what I was prophesying to him, and a woman was standing behind, and the woman said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And the Holy Spirit told me that is him, his mother. The mother is gone to be with the Lord. I never met him. And I was telling him, when I was telling him, he was laughing. I said, "The Lord said, you are going to be a pastor. You are going to be a man of God. Pastor Leo. Pastor Leo. Pastor Leo. I think that's better, Pastor Leo." Yeah. And I can't wait for the Lord to do it, because I see grace be poured. And I'm very excited. Hallelujah. So, these are the team I came with. But I am excited to see one of my sons. One of my sons right here. These are, you know, I hardly lose sons. And daughters, they have been with me long. These have been with me long, very, very long. In fact, they are one of the foundations, the people that helped me, and they were with me to clear the virgin forest for KMCC to be planted. Long, long, far back, 2000, like 2004, 5, 6. I'm surprised. He just walked in here. Let's put hands together for Brother Bright. Come on, come. So mommy didn't know that he was here. We've been together from Koforidia. I mean, these guys are bulldozers. I didn't even know that he was in Kumasi. And I'm excited that. So he sent me the thing. Banner he went to put in town and said he's coming and he's here. Yes. And it's a great blessing to see you. God bless you so much. Very anointed. Now he's into music. He produces music. That's music production. Which one? It's a bit doesn't put it. The one that has been putting his stuff on his music. Anyway, let's continue. They are not my amen. All right, so I am glad to see everybody. Our time to close is even up, but we are not giving up. To see everybody, I see Pastor Bright, Governor, I call him Governor. So I see you here. I see everybody. I see my son. I call him Professor. He is here. Yes, one of the brilliant brains that the Lord has given me opportunity to mentor. Can we talk shortly about something Jesus spoke about today? Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Matthew 16, the verse number 24. Can you try it on pianos? Let me see what happens. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me." Jesus is talking, isn't it? I'm trying to pick up some prophetic signals. Yes. And that's why I look a little bit unstable. You see, sometimes I get surprised how people handle ministerial assignments and how they are able to let the whole thing look like it is them. And it's like the purpose of the meeting, you don't normally see it. And the man that carries the gift is so praised that the giver of the gift is not even known. I get really surprised. Because every meeting has what it does. You would be surprised that heaven, we have the cloud of glory that are sent to supervise our meetings anytime we meet. And you'll be surprised. We may have some in our midst here. Most of times, if you go into meetings that are properly defined, that you are talking about,
we are having a meeting, probably a worship encounter. You will be surprised how the heavens will permit David to be in the meeting. Because we are talking about worshiping God. He's the patriarch, he's the template. If you are saying you are going to have faith alive, faith meeting, you'll be very surprised that men that have obtained by faith are permitted to be in our meeting. So you don't joke with meetings. I was teaching the church yesterday. You don't joke with meetings. And whenever you enter into a meeting, one of the important things you must be aware of, to be able to define what the objective is and align. Otherwise, you'll be a joker. And that is the only time you can measure the quantum of grace that has been imparted to you. If it is the grace or the blessing of wisdom, you can measure that, no, I entered here, but I didn't come out the same. I didn't come out the same. I've been doing a series on the wisdom for handling money. And when I started, I thought it was a joke. It was a joke. Yesterday, we saw bank managers rushing inside there. Pastors from, we didn't invite anyone. We're just coming. See, I was surprised. I was just surprised. So when you come into a meeting, define, this is grace encounter, and it must be so. And if it is grace, like I told you last year, it has different dimensions. And this season, I believe God has a new dimension for us. There are three things God told me 3 days ago concerning this meeting. I'm sure maybe I may talk about it or not. I don't know. But the Lord said, as I was praying and preparing for this meeting, He said, the winning church. Then He said, win in the church. Then He said, win the church. So I wrote it down. Win the church, win in the church, winning church. Then the Lord starts talking to me about it and making, elaborating it and giving me understandings. A church can never become a winning church until the church can win. And before a church will win, the church must win inside. Now, let me put it another way. You cannot advance the kingdom until the kingdom has advanced in you. You cannot give what you don't have. All right. Let's go back to this thing. Then Jesus said to His disciples, if any man, any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross and follow me. The next verse, look at what He said. If you try to hang on to your life, watch something. Just watch something. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Let's move on. Then He said, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? What Jesus is trying to say is that we call something the law of displacement in science. The amount of mass that you place in the fluid or the liquid will determine the amount of water that will be displaced. Is that not it? This is what Jesus is teaching here. That the amount of worldliness that finds its way into you will come and displace some portion of the soul. So our soul can be equated in a way to the world based on the masses that are found in there. Now let's continue. Things will become clear here. Then He said, for the Son of Man, no, back to the same scripture, 26. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Then He says something there. He said, is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Now take me to King James and watch what happened. What happens here? King James, He said, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange of his soul? Watch this thing very careful. For what is a man profited? That scripture alone. What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? He became the doctor, he became the professor, he has the money, he has everything, he gained everything, he has everything, he gave his time to have everything. But after having everything, in fact, it wasn't okay for him. So we gave the whole world to him. We gave the whole world to him. And the Bible says that having gained that, and the person, that's what, loses his soul. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So now, having gained the world, you end up losing your soul. Now what's something? You end up losing your soul. Then Jesus is asking that if I want to get my soul back, what will be the best price to pay? He said, what will be the best price to pay? Am I supposed to use the whole world to regain the soul? Beloved, it's a serious issue. Now, anytime we read this scripture, we begin to think about unbelievers. Now, first thing I want you to understand is that this scripture was not spoken to unbelievers. Jesus was talking to his disciples, men that believed in him and have followed him and have seen him and have heard him and have touched him and have slept with him and have played with him and has loved with him. He has rebuked them before and he has laid hands on them, prayed for them before. These are the men Jesus was talking about, the lost of the soul. How can me, a born-again believer who has given my life to Christ and the Holy Ghost is in me, how can I come to a place of losing my soul? If we are talking about people whose souls are lost, then we are looking at men that have not given their life to Jesus. But here is the case. I am a tongue talker. I preach the word of God. In fact, I am a pastor. I lay hands on people. I do fast and pray. I do the wildest thing that everybody expects a man of God to do. But yet, I lose my soul. How possible? How possible? Jesus is asking that, do you know you can come to a point in your life that what you lose in your soul, gaining it, retaining it, or gaining it back, becomes almost impossible? When I saw this, I have not finished doing this series back home, but I feel I should just fellowship with you in this. When I saw this, I stopped everything I was doing. I said, wow, the lost of the soul. Can I believe I lose his soul? Can I come to a place where my soul will be lost? Why do you think David prayed a prayer? He said, my soul bless the Lord, and let all that is within me bless his holy name. Beloved, it is possible for you to lose your soul. It is possible. And that is why we are here. I'm just going to rush through this thing quickly and prepare you and get you hungry for tomorrow. Within these days, anything some. Tell somebody, anything some. As we are sharing, if he stops us to prophesy, we'll go on. But at the end of this meeting, you should be on fire to be somebody's savior. By the time we are done, you will see the need to be a savior of another man. When you are reading the Bible and you see, so I love to buy Bibles which has red letters, so that I can see clearly that this is my master's voice speaking. Everybody may speak in black and white, but when I pick it, then I see the red letter, I realize, okay. And then I give it attention. My master Jesus speaks in simple words, but the wisdom is so deep. The wisdom of God is that he takes the things men see foolish on this earth to confine the wise. One day,
before my grandmother passed on, you know, we used to take his money small, small to buy toffees and rubber ball. And so she didn't know how to hide her money again in the house. So do you know what she did? She can tie her money, or he can put her money in her shoe and throw it in her room. If you want to understand the scripture, he takes the foolishness of this world to confine the world. That's what I'm teaching you. So when you enter the room, you are looking into the wardrobes and looking into this thing. It is in something you never expect to find the money in. He can put it there. He can put it there. It will never come into your mind that he has put his money in the chamber pot. He can put it there. She can put it anywhere. She takes the foolish things of this world to confine the wise. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Now listen to me. To see, he shall reward every man. The moment he talks about he shall reward, then he's talking about the Bema Seat judgment. The Bema Seat judgment is a judgment of Christians, believers. It's not a place where Jesus is going to judge, are you born again or not? No, it's a place where all born again souls are going to gather. And then he's going to weigh us, our works. So you realize that this scripture, he's actually addressing Christians. Telling Christians that though you are born again, but you can lose your soul. Though you are born again, but you can lose your soul. Beloved, how does that happen? When we talk about the soul, what is your soul? You see, every human being is a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. The soul never came into existence until the breath of God came into contact with the flesh. The Bible says, and he breathed into man, and man became what? A living soul. Your soul is your life. All that makes you the person you are, it is the seat of your memory, your feelings, your imagination, your conviction, your desires and affections. So when I talk about your soul, I'm talking about your feelings, your memories, your imagination, your conviction, your desires and affection, all put together forms your soul. It's going to be very hot very soon. It's possible some of you can begin to shed tears and bring that, but God is ready to restore you. The value of your soul, even the world, the whole world put together, cannot pay for it. The whole world, beloved, the whole world put together cannot pay for it. So Jesus is telling you that if you want to gain your soul, of which Peter spoke about it, the salvation of your soul, the redemption of your soul, if you want to gain your soul, there is a competition between what you give your attention to. What you give your attention to will determine what will take over your soul. Your imagination, your memory, your feelings, your convictions, your desires, your affections. Jesus said your soul can be lost. And he said there would never be any profit to gain everything in the world and yet lose your soul. But you can sustain your soul and lose the world. When you get born again, your spirit gets born again. Your soul is getting saved. Your body shall be saved. That is why you may be born again, but you can still feel the lust you used to feel when you were not born again, because your body is not saved. That is why you may be born born again, but sometimes you will still hear the voice that used to direct you, go and do that, go and insult, get angry, do this. You'll still feel all those things. Because when you get born again, it is your spirit. And that is why the Bible says that he that is born again cannot sin. The day I read that scripture, I said, oh, you're a joker. The day I went to baptize, the day my pastor baptized me. In fact, I fasted for 3 days. I always tell this story in church. I fasted for 3 days because I read the Bible that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens opened. And I was desiring that experience. Fasted for 3 days. When my pastor held me, I started. The heavens must, I must see a bubro come down. He must come down. What are you up there? He must come down. Praying. Man of God, I went under the water. I came out. The only thing is the water went into my mouth. I didn't see anything. Nothing appeared. The sky, I didn't hear any voice. Nothing. I was very disappointed. I felt God has removed inside. I was very, very disappointed. When I got home, one of my friends angered me before I realized I've insulted the guy after baptism. So you can just imagine how disappointed I was. Born again, believer. I mean, born again, who has preached to people, and the people, in fact, people I went to baptize with, some of them, I was the one that led them to Christ. And my pastor was, and here is the case. At least now time I mean baptized in the ground. But now I'm baptized. Something should hold my mouth and say, thou shalt not insult. But nothing like that. Before I realize, I have spelt it out. Just like that. Then I realized that, Charlie, now I'm going to a baby. Because how I felt that since I'm born again, everything should, it wasn't like that. If you don't know the wisdoms that goes with this thing, you will fail always. Because when you go born again, it's your spirit that got born again. Your soul was not born again. Your body was not born again. That is why if you are fair, you are fair. If you are black, you are black. But the Bible says, when he shall appear, we shall see him and we shall be like him. He said, we shall be changed. This body shall be changed. The final redemption and salvation is the salvation of our body. That day to come when he shall appear. When rapture comes and we see him, immediately the body shall change. In fact, the change of the body shall not be the same, but it shall be of a substance, that divine substance. Though the quality, or better still, the brilliance of glory that dwells in the body shall depict how much were able to live for him on earth. So I look at you and I see a fair brother, and the glory is intense in this body. It shows how much. Now the most brilliant of the body will be given to them that can be able to love like the Lord. Your ability, not people that can fast, not people that can remove demons, not people who can love like the Lord. Love is the greatest way. He said there are three that bear witness: faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest. You can serve God by love. You can serve God by faith. You can serve God by hope. There are people whose Christian faith are sustained by hope that he shall appear. The Lord is coming. So when you look at our mothers and our grandmothers who used to go for dumb prayers and all those things, they do that thing because they are hoping for the Lord's appearance. They are hoping for the Lord's appearance. And there are them that serve God by faith. The Bible says, and by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. But I'm telling you, there is a dimension of following the Lord that he sees it. He said, let me show you the most excellent way. And what is the most excellent way? He said, love. The ability to love. So God is not faith, God is not hope, but it said God is love. God is love. So to love is to walk perfectly in God. To love is to walk perfectly in God. And you know some beautiful thing he said about love. He said love cannot fail. Love cannot fail. If it is truly love, brother, every step of love draws you closer and closer to God. Every step of love draws you closer and closer to God. God, if it is God, if it is God, if it is love, it is God. May the Lord open your heart to grab this revelation. So we shall be changed. He said, we shall all be changed. He said, we shall be like him. We shall be like him. But sincerely, our brilliance, like I said, will not be exactly as him. But the quality of the material of which we are made of shall be divine. It shall be divine. It shall be divine. For example, some of us are white. Some of us are chocolate. Some of us are dark. Some of us are, different. But we are all flesh and blood. But when he shall appear, we shall be eternal. We shall have eternal life. The eternal substance shall be released unto us. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. We shall be changed. And we shall be like him. May the Lord help us to walk in love. May we preach in love. May we serve in love. When we lift our voice to pray, may we pray in love. May we love. Some people can pray prayer. Die prayer. That will kill that. They can pray them and people truly will die. Some people will die. But you can do many things by faith. The Bible says by faith some receive their children from death. The same scripture, you say by faith others endure death. So by faith you can choose to die or not to die. So when Elijah, according to history, when Elijah called lion to come and eat the children up, when you read Rick Joyner's book, The Path, when God gave him opportunity to meet Elijah made a statement. He said the most regretful thing he ever did in his life was to do that thing. He said the anger, the impatience. He said he couldn't live by love as his Lord, and he regrets. And Elijah is wishing to come back to come and undo those things. Then he told Rick Joyner, he said, you are better off than I because you have opportunity to change whatever you did wrong. It is when you die that you don't have any opportunity. That's why the Bible says a living dog is better than a dead lion. So since you are alive, it is wiser to take a decision consistent to truth. The Lord will help us. I said the Lord will help us. So right now, as we are moving up and down, everything that we are doing is contributing to the birthing. Our soul's birthing, our soul's salvation is actually a progress. So these three salvation, you must know. We are saved. We are being saved. We shall be saved. We are saved by the Spirit. We are being saved, our soul. We shall be saved is our body. So when the last trumpet is sounded, we shall be saved. That is when our bodies will be better. But right now, as we are here, as we go to our hostels, as we are moving about, as we are praying, as we are fasting, as we are preaching, as we are walking, as we are talking, whatever we are doing, how we respond to God and how we don't respond to God is determining how our soul is becoming. And that is why Jesus says that you can substitute the redemption of your soul with worldliness. Even if it is not worldliness, he said that even with the world. If I say worldliness, it looks like ungodliness. I won't go there so that you feel it is evil. But I am telling you something of the world, which is good, can take a portion of your soul from you. For example, as a pastor, let me tell you a story. You see, this phone is about $2,000. This phone, 3 days ago. I was coming from the prayer room and I tried to go to the washroom. So I was holding the two phones. And before I realized, this one came off my hand and entered my WC. $2,000. Entered WC. The speed with which my hand arrived in the WC and grabbed the phone there. It was when I grabbed the phone, then I asked myself, where is my hand? Then I brought my hand. I said, what?
My phone. Then the Lord said, I want to show you how much this thing has taken your heart. It's something good, but you'll be surprised this thing can take over your heart to the point that when you are supposed to be having your quiet time, you are with this thing. And sincerely, maybe you are even listen to me very careful. You may even be reading a novel or something, which is not the same. But at that point, where you are supposed to be doing something which the Lord has instructed you, but rather doing something different, you'll be surprised. You may be losing your soul. You may be among friends and you will feel the prompting of the Spirit. Get up and go and pray. Leave this place and go and share the word. I told you to fast. Why are you afraid of food? The Holy Spirit will tell you, can you leave this place? The words that is coming from the people's mouth, it is not faith filled. Can you leave this place? And you are there. And you are there. That season, you never said anything. In fact, you sat there and you were like, beloved, you'll be surprised. You may be losing your soul. And I'm going to show you everything is in the scriptures. The Bible says, a even righteous Lot, having stayed in Sodom and Gomorrah, had the vexation of his soul. He was a righteous man, but for his location, there was a question on his soul. Why do you think that when you wake up in the morning and you don't pray, you don't do your quiet time, look at how you feel. Look at how you feel. There is a shortage of energy in your soul. A Christian can lose his soul gradually, bit by bit, by the things we hear, the things we say, the places we go, how we respond, how we love, how we forgive. The Lord will tell you, can you forgive him? And you are like, yes, I'm going to think about it. Look, your inability to be prompt with the Holy Ghost, you'll be very surprised. Why do you think that you'll be having those dreams you have been having? There are three sources of dreams. The first place is from God. The second is from the devil. The third is from the realm of your soul. If you want to know, there are certain dreams when you have them, you cannot attribute to the devil. You cannot attribute it to the God. Even yourself, you cannot attribute it to. The Bible says that it's out of the abundance of matters in the day that a man dreams, true or false. So sometimes you can dream. Listen to me. You can dream. Then and somebody who did something against you in the day, you see him in the dream and you are still fighting him in the dream. Has it ever happened to you before? That you took something in the day to the dream. Meaning that vexation, that anger that took over your heart, it rocked your soul to the point that though you are asleep, your soul, the picture and the film of your soul is now unrolling before you. So sometimes some dreams portray, is telling us the state of our soul. How can I finish praying in tongues and have a dream that a naked girl I met on campus, I was having sex with the person? It means how much you meditated on the girl when she passed and how it captivated your soul. You can lose your soul. This is how you end up losing your soul gradually, gradually. Number one way you lose your soul is through starvation, starving the soul. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Beloved, Jesus made a statement and said, you have been made clean by the words that I've spoken unto you. Meaning that the word, the Bible talks about the washing away by the word. Meaning that the word has power to cleanse us, to wash us, to take away debris, impurities, to make us look clean. The word has power. So what it means is that when we fail to imbibe into the word, when we fail to align, to spend time with the word, what truly happens is that what the word should deal with cannot be dealt with. In the realm of the spirit, there is that which the blood of Jesus deals with, but there is that which the word of God alone can deal with. And I'm telling you, there are certain dimensions. Even the efficacy of the blood is connected to the fellowship of the brethren. 1 John.
chapter 1. Let's go to the verse number 3. Then we'll jump to 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. Look at it. That if you don't know how to be a good church member, able to relate with each other, if you don't know how to fellowship with your brother and your sister, if you don't know how, even at that point, there is a certain energy in the blood of Jesus that you will never see. It is biblical. That which we have had, that which we have seen and declared unto you, ye also may have, so that you may also have what? Fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The verse number 7. Look at it. Verse number 7. Rule it. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Then He said, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So in fellowship, there is a cleansing power of the blood activated. Do you know how it is done? Haven't you seen a man come to church and fall in love with another brother, and by the time you realize they live their life almost alike. When he's talking, he has learned patience from him. He never saw it, but the fellowship is so strong that sometimes he may want to do something and the brother says, no, you can't do it, Charlie. No, make you go. No, if you do that. You think it is a counseling. No, it is actually the working of the blood. Pastor, what do you mean? The Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaketh better things. So the blood has the ability to what? So there is a place for the spirit of counsel, but there is a voice for the blood. You can't do that. Then the cleansing is taking place. Then the cleansing is taking place. Why do you think he said, confess your sins to one another? Then the cleansing is taking place. Then the cleansing, may the Lord clean you. So living a certain antisocial thing in church and making you feel like you are the most specially anointed, and most of the times, you know, the anointed brothers, when they come the way, you want to tell them, sit down, everyone will sit down, they are the pocket and they are the back there, be like me, chateau like me, prove it as though they are too powerful. Yes, it's better to relocate, brother. You are saving yourself. That's the blood cleansing. You see that? It's working. By the time you realize the pastor is preaching, they feel so special. I know you have seen some, and they call themselves papers, and they are on campus, and they look. You realize that by the time you could say Jack, they've gone to sleep with a certain girl, just like that. And a brother who always comes and is always around, fellowshipping with each other, jumping about, we pray together, come, we sweep together. You know, this brother is thriving, going on and on. What is happening is that the blood of Jesus is having its way, cleansing you day by day. Yeah. So if I were you, I would never joke with fellowship. Yes. You need to spend time with the word to make sure you don't starve your soul. Think about the rich man in Jesus' story in Luke chapter 16. He lived well, he enjoyed life, he dressed impeccable, and he never really thought about his soul. He only lived for this world. Bible makes us understand that bread sustains the body. Bread, it sustains the body. The word of God sustains your soul. So if you fail to feed on the word, it means that you are giving your body power over your soul. And don't forget, this body shall be saved on the day he shall appear. So when you fellowship with corruption, you shall be corrupted. That is why you should not listen to the instructions of your flesh, what your flesh is telling you. Some of you, let me tell you the truth. Holy Spirit, help me to communicate this wisdom. One of the wisdoms you don't know that causes many Christians to fail is that they think every sin is the devil. There are certain things you pray against, they will never go. There are certain weaknesses, certain sins, certain spirits you call, you will cast out, they will never go. They will never go. Don't be a joker for anybody to tell you, I'm casting out the spirit of lust. Don't be silly. Jesus said, when you see that spirit, if you see it's a spirit, when you see it, think, run away. You run. Cast yourself out. Don't cast the spirit out. Cast yourself out. So standing there and saying, come out, you spirit of lust, you are a joker. The principle is that tell yourself, David, come out, leave this place. Tell yourself. So there are things you must deal with. And I'm telling you, there are some other things, no matter whatever you do, they will never leave your body. They will never, never, never leave your body. Like laziness, it will never, spirit of laziness, go out. It will never leave your body. It will never, the place of that spirit is where? Your body. You can't cast it out. Nothing, not the blood of the, nothing. So Paul prayed a prayer. He said, there is another law in my members. Then he called himself, oh, wretched man, who shall save me from this wretchedness? He said, when I want to do good, he said that then sin is present with me. There is something dwelling in there. And that thing is not, I don't deal with it by prayer. I don't deal with it. No, there are certain things by principle and practice. You keep it miles away. By principle and practice, fellowship life, Bible life, choir time. These are things that we easily let go. If I should ask how many of us did our quiet time here, you'll be very surprised. Tell me why you will not lose your soul. Tell me. Jesus went to advise the disciples, hey, chairman, be careful, watch and pray. Pray that you fall not into temptation. Pray that you fall not into temptation. In itself is not a sin. Temptation is the opportunity to choose from sin. Now, if you don't pray, your will to avoid or to make, to avoid the choices will be broken. So when Jesus said that, pray that you fall into the temptation, what he's saying is that if you pray, the opportunity or coming closer to the territory where sin is, you'll be far from it. Where you see sin is where you see Satan. So when you pray, the orchestrator of sin cannot come closer to you. Pray that you fall not into temptation. So there are certain things you can only deal with them by prayer. There are certain things you can deal with just spending time with God. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever had before. You are so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever had before. You are so easy to adore. Lord, I want to. You wake up in the morning and that's what you are doing. How can he come closer to you? Starvation of your soul. Haven't you realized that anytime you wake up in the morning, you don't do your quiet time? You eat a lot. There's a certain hunger that sets in. You think you can satisfy it by many talking. One, you talk a lot. Many talking. You get angry easily. You think you can satisfy it by reacting. You think people are your problem. You eat a lot. Gluttony begins to set in. You realize that you become some way. You begin to get irritated in your spirit. Haven't you realized that? Starvation. Number two, there's the vexation of the soul. Vexing your soul. 2 Peter 2, 7-8. 2 Peter 2, the verse number 7-8. And delivered just Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7-8. Said, and delivered just Lot. The word just means a righteous Lot. He delivered righteous Lot. He delivered him. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8. For that righteous man, look at it. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So before Lot could say, Jack, having brought his children in a godly manner, taught them how to pray in tongues, blessed them, one day he slept. Before he could say Jack, they have served him some things. Now Lot is booze, and her, his own daughters came to sleep with him. Where did they learn that from? Where did they learn that from? In Sodom and Gomorrah, was lesbianism, was sexual immorality, and they felt they were growing. So all this while, where they were staying, had certain few infiltration impact on their soul, and the justification of them was seen in the life of his children. Don't think the place of that is why you must be concerned who is even your roommate. Who is your roommate? Can narrow you. Every day you are narrowed. Stay outside for 1 hour because your roommate has brought somebody in. When I was on campus, my roommate went to bring somebody. I said, I will not go anywhere. I will sleep here. Before I realized, I was lying on the bed and the bed was going seesaw, 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 seesaw. How long can I endure that? How long? You are at a place. Take the conversation that is going on, pornographic conversation, filthy conversation, and you are still there. Look at the songs you listen to. Look at the movies and the things you watch. Look at the place you dwell. You are vexing your soul. You are vexing. Sometimes you can be at a place, you get and realize that Charlie, you are drained. There are certain trotters when you sit inside. You realize you are drained. Sometimes when I sit in a trotter, oh, I don't remember the last time I did anyway, by the grace of God. You know what happens? I take my phone. When I realize the driver is playing some worldly song, I take my phone. Driver, Pacho, lower. Mean tie kobia. There's no call. I pretend. Driver, Pacho, lower. Why you need a call? Because I just want you to drop this thing. Hello, hello. Oh, man, Driver, Pacho, to me, we are why? Then I take over. Or I tell the driver, can I preach? And put off like this thing. You must take charge. Don't just get up and just be everywhere. Don't put yourself anywhere like that. Jesus is coming in no time. If it is true that we shall be changed and we shall be ranked, then please, dear, take care of your soul. Yeah. Job 19:2 said, how long will ye vex my soul and break me in pieces with words? Break me in pieces with words. How long? Psalm 36:3 says that the words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. So there are certain people, when they open their mouth, they wound you. Because of time, I'm not going to go through these things. I'm trusting God, if tomorrow the Lord will permit me to visit this thing again. If he doesn't, wherever I will take it from, we'll continue from there. But I trust that he will give me the opportunity to visit this thing. But I just want you to know, don't choke with your soul, because you can lose it. You can lose it. Do things that will let you gain your soul. When I wake up in the morning and I take my Bible and I'm reading, what I'm doing is that I'm gaining my soul. I'm gaining my soul. When somebody does something to me and it requires me to be angry, and I choose patience, that is the fruit of the spirit I've eaten. When I eat a fruit, I gain nutrient. There's a nutrient in the spirit. So I have gained my soul. But when I respond according to the flesh, according to the world, according to the voice of the devil, I have lost my soul. So when you are doing something, ask yourself, what is my motivation? Lift your right hand and pray and tell the Lord, show me mercy. Come on, lift your voice. Talk to him. Show me mercy, Lord. David said that he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Show me mercy, Lord. How did I come to the place where I cannot stop masturbating? I've sold my soul out. I have done these things over and over. Now I've come to the place where I have surrendered my soul. There is a place to surrender your soul. Come to that place. But there is a God that restores. The Bible says he restoreth my soul. He restoreth. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. Then he restoreth my soul. God, lead me through the paths that will cause restoration. Lord, lead me through the path, lead me by the still water that will bring restore. He restoreth my soul. Are you praying? Lift your voice. Lord, restore my soul, Lord. Restore my soul, Lord. Restore my soul, Lord. When you begin to lose your soul, you begin to do things according to practice, according to tradition, and not according to revelation. Because you know how to sing the song, you are singing it. It is not inspired by the Spirit. But if your soul shall be restored, when you stand in front here, it shall not be by popular songs, it shall not be by trending songs, but it shall be inspired songs. You shall be inspired. Why? Because your soul is so active. He restoreth my soul. Shadabakapal watate. Restore our soul, Lord. Restore our soul, Lord. Restore our soul, Lord. Restore our soul, Lord. Anybody whose soul is captivated in any way, anybody that has entered into a soul tie, Lord, let that thing be broken right now in the name of Jesus. He restoreth my soul. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Prophet Isaiah never knew certain things until the Lord appeared unto him. He said, my eyes have seen the Lord. He said, I said, I'm a man of filthy lips, living among men who are filthy. May the Lord appear unto you. May the purity of Jesus be made available unto you. Yes, Holy Spirit, do something in our lives. Many things we did, we never knew. We have struggled to get it because we never strived to walk in the path of life. But now we know that we will walk by striving. Jesus, do it. That which will cause holy men to fall. Save us from it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm sure tomorrow we'll have time to even enter into ministration. And I would have time to pray for some of you. Look, see, me am going to pray. Some of us, we are here, we can't share it. Because how people know us, how they know us, and the things we do in secret. Some of us, our souls are captured. I'll get to the place, the capture of the soul. Our souls are captured. But he restoreth my soul. I say he restoreth my soul. There shall be a restoration. The grace for restoration is in the house. I will advise tomorrow, just invite a lot. Talk to your roommates. Talk to your friends. Push them to be here. Compel them and counsel them to be here. Be the reason why somebody will be saved. Be the reason why somebody will come very close to Jesus and have opportunity. Tell the person, come and see. Bartholomew and Nathaniel, it was the come and see evangelism. And then Jesus spoke to them. The Lord bless you.
God bless you too. Daddy, we want to bow down our heads and we want to stretch our hand upon our pastor and pray. As you have been blessed, we want to also ask the Lord to bless him. Lift your voice and pray for God's servant. If you don't know what to say, you want to say, Father, restore him. Restore his strength. Renew his strength. Let your grace upon his life increase. Let your grace upon his life increase. In the name of Jesus. Strengthen him, Lord, to do more. Release more grace upon him. Lord, we thank you for such a precious gift. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending us this precious gift. And thank you that our souls have been saved. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Please put your hands together and let's celebrate God. Hallelujah. I'm sure we have a word of blessing for our daddy. What do you say to daddy? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle, for teaching us on the loss of the soul. Were you blessed? A lot of wisdom. Oh, so I was right. Sorry, say amazing.